Now, as we continue our look at Psalm 11 this evening, we see again verse 4. We looked at the first half of verse 4 last time. The Lord is in his holy temple. And we look this evening particularly at these words. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The title of the message this evening is this. Nothing more profound than the scripture teaches. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. What is going on? What is going on? That's a question, a familiar question. What is going on? How often are you caused? How often are you caused to either think or utter that question aloud? As you look and as you observe the events going on in the world around you, what is going on? Or as you experience the varying, trying, testing, confusing circumstances of your own life. What's going on? What's happening? David, the psalmist, was caused to continually ask the question in the Psalms. And oh, how thankful I am, as so many are, that we have the book of the Psalms. Because it's an honest book. It's an honest book. Anyone who knows anxiety, depression, frustration, fear, and all manner of experiences in life, they can see in David the psalmist, especially who is caused to write most of these psalms, they can see, and they can see him echoing those experiences. But not only that, we can see how this one is caused to trust God nonetheless. And as we consider that question, what is going on? What is going on? Or sometimes it may be, what on earth is going on? Which is an interesting statement. What on earth is going on? Well, what on earth is going on is exactly the will of God as it is in heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, wasn't it? Thy will be done on earth as it already is. In heaven. As we think on that question, surely anyone at all who would even dare to say, no, not me. I am always, all the time, firmly focused with a perfect confidence and lack of doubt, is most certainly being dishonest. I cannot believe a single child of God has not known and does not know such times. For it is our experience. It is our lot in this life. How can an honest man or woman, living in the body of this flesh, be totally immune? Totally immune and unaffected by the concerns of this life. The only difference, and the vital difference, between the elect of God, God's people, those who know the call of God's grace, those who trust His Son, the elect of God. The only difference between them, the only difference between those who know God and our fellow man is one thing. You see, whether we be those trusting Christ or whether we be those who believe not, we are told that we all experience common tribulation. Common tribulation. We all experience these common tribulations of life. As Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. And this isn't just exclusive to believers. There are exclusive trials and troubles to the believer, but the Lord Jesus is teaching His people, you are going to go through the same tribulations of life as everyone else. But the only difference between the elect of God and those who know not the Saviour, going through these common tribulations, is found in the very words of comfort that He adds to sustain our faith. To cause us to continually have a reason for hope. It is found in Himself, who is our Lord and Saviour, our God. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has gained the victory. The world is subdued beneath His rule, beneath and subject to the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ is the world and everything in it. And therefore, as Jesus tells what these words were given to His disciples for in John 16 that I've just quoted. What they are given to His people for. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In Me you might have peace. You can have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have concern. You're going to have worry. You're going to have all manner of things that perplex you and trouble you. But you're going to have peace. Through My word. And so then, we gaze upon the wonderful words before us here in Psalm 11 verse 4. The Lord's throne is in heaven. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And we see the psalmist David's reason, therefore, for the confidence that he has. The confidence that he states at the outset of the psalm. In the Lord I put my trust. Even though there are those waiting to shoot the arrow at him, if there are those who are waiting to lie in wait and attack him, there are those who would cause him to turn away from God. Tell him to flee and to not trust in God. To flee as a bird to your mountain. The reason for his confidence and ours. That we can say, in Yahweh I put my trust. It is this. The Lord's throne is in heaven. That is the confidence we have. You know, I don't believe that anyone who does not believe in a sovereign Lord God can have total confidence. Just think about that. Just think about that. If there is not a sovereign God, these words in verse 3 could cause us to doubt and be very fearful. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But we believe in a sovereign Lord God. We proclaim a sovereign Lord God. And the God in whom we trust, in whom our trust is sovereign. He's on his throne. So firstly, when did this reign, this rule of the Lord, when did this reign begin? You might think that's a strange question. When was the throne of the Almighty set up? Where we see the throne of our great God. The throne of our great God, who alone is God, Yahweh. His personal name that he has brought us to know. To know himself. To actually know him, the only true God. John 17. This one, his throne. He doesn't just reign. We read in our text, the Lord's throne is in heaven. It speaks of no beginning nor end. Now, although in the original we do not have the word is, and you'll see in your Bibles you'll have italics for the word is. Nonetheless, this is the truth being declared here. This is the truth being declared here. The Lord's throne in heaven. Meaning that it is set in place. It's set there. It's set there. It is fixed. As indeed the word of God tells us in the Psalms also, in Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. As surely as God is from everlasting, as surely as God is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, as surely as God always has been, as surely as he is the same yesterday, today and forever, as surely as he is God from everlasting, immutable, unchanging, so is his throne. When did the reign of our God begin? When was God's throne established? Well, the answer, in one sense, is never. Never. For that is as far as our puny mind, limited minds, can comprehend. Who can comprehend from everlasting? It never began, as surely as it will never end. He always has been and always will be, and so his throne always has been and always will be. From everlasting is something the understanding of mere mortals cannot search out. Yes, we can write volumes and volumes of theological works upon it, but our minds ultimately come against the proverbial brick wall. We are limited in our comprehension. We are limited in our understanding. We only know what the revelation of God tells us. But that is sufficient for us. As God's great dominion and power is established in the heavens from everlasting, then we must ask, what or who can in any way diminish or stand against this unchangeable throne of absolute rule? We read in Psalm 14, there was one who sought to do that. There was one who sought to do that. One of greater power than any earthly ruler. Of greater power in might than any of us. One of the greatest of the angels created by the Almighty. He sought to place his throne above the throne of God. Satan himself. And he was cast out. And the Lord Jesus speaks of him and says, I did behold Satan fall from heaven. Not even the most glorious and powerful of angels can remove God from his throne. No principality or power in the heavenly places. And so therefore, no mere mortal can stand against his kingdom's throne. Against the unchangeable rule of our God. Our God reigns. Period. End of story. And when I say end of story, when the end shall come, everyone shall acknowledge that it is so. Those who have died in Christ, those who have died outside of Christ, those who are alive at his return, who believe and those who hate Christ, each shall acknowledge this Lord God. Rules over all. Rules over them. Secondly, what is the extent of the Lord's throne? What is the extent of his rule, his reign, his great dominion and power? What is his extent? To what extent does he rule? To what extent is God sovereign? There's a question, isn't there? There's a question. Because there are many people you would speak to Christians, professed Christians, who would tell you they believe in a sovereign God. Their meaning of sovereignty is limited. There are many who believe in a sovereign God who needs something from man. That's not a sovereign God. What is the extent of his sovereignty, his dominion, his power, his throne? Over everything and everyone. There's no exception. Over everything and everyone. What a confidence this gave to David the psalmist. All these enemies arrayed against him. But he knew there was a sovereign God on his throne. He could put all his trust in. All his trust in. With absolute confidence. There was a man who, though it took for him to learn the hard way, a very, very hard way. A man ruling in earthly splendor, ruling wanting for nothing as far as adoration from man be concerned, who was caused ultimately to confess of our Lord God in Daniel 4:3, great Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, as God brought him to his knees, caused him to live out in the woods as an animal, when he was brought to his right mind again, he declares this of this great God: his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. We see it also in verse 34 of that text of Daniel chapter 4. Oh, the people of the earth should stand back and consider these words. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his generation is from generation to his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? In short, our sovereign Lord God on the throne, on his eternal throne, answers to no one. No one or nothing. He answers to no one. On the contrary, everyone must answer to him. Whether people acknowledge it or not, the God of our Saviour, of our salvation, the Lord, Yahweh, is King forever over all people. And none can move, breathe, or perform anything without his express permission. As Paul, in those words that we read in Acts 17, said to the people at Athens, in him we move and breathe. We have our being in him. Oh, how foolish man continues to be thinking that he is wise. That is why God's elect can take comfort. Oh, can take wonderful comfort. Can take comfort in the words. These simple words, but oh, so profound. The Lord's throne is in heaven. For even those who rise up against God's people are limited in power, and the Lord will certainly bring about the good, always, the good of those who are his, even through the wicked, wicked works of men. We have a most wonderful example of a man persecuted and cruelly mistreated, even by his own family. And yet, he is caused to see the sovereign hand of the ruling one seated upon his throne. Joseph, sold as a slave by his brothers and taken to Egypt, where now we read in Genesis 50, where now he has risen to the heady heights of only second in power behind the king. It says to his brothers who come to him seeking food in famine, and when he reveals himself to them as their brother, he utters these wonderful words. Genesis 50 verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That is what God is doing even today in this world, as his people are sorely mistreated and persecuted and downtrodden. He is building his kingdom. He is saving precious souls. And he will save precious souls. He will confound the enemy. Oh, how the truth that the Lord's throne is in heaven may have seemed, nonetheless, for a time, far from Joseph's mind, as he suffered many things. And he did suffer many things. Languishing an innocent man in the jail. He must have asked the question, what's happening? What's going on? Why has this happened to me? Yet as we go through the trials and look on perplexed at the affairs of this world, we must cling to this. This is our confidence. This is our peace. He's on his throne. Nothing's budged him from his throne. Nothing has removed the power of God. Nothing has stopped the purpose of God. He's ruling supreme. Thirdly, what is the nature of this throne? Well, it's certainly not as the thrones of this earth, as the rulers of this earth. For even the greatest, even the best of men are fallible. Everything in this earth is tainted with sin. But our God, the Lord, rules perfectly. He rules perfectly. His judgment is right all the time. His wisdom is infinite, and there is nothing impure about the nature of his rule. There is nothing unjust about the nature of God's rule. Psalm 47 verse 7 and 8. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. There's nothing impure about God's rule. It's holy. His throne is holy. His throne is pure. His throne is righteous and good. And when you consider the rulers of this world, even down to the smallest of jurisdictions, quite often dishonesty and corruption abounds at some level at least. But when we consider the God in whom is our trust, the Lord Yahweh, he rules from his throne, not like any earthly leaders. As the psalmist says in Psalm 9, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sat in the throne, judging right. The Lord always does what's right, all the time. And you know what? In God's sovereign purposes, even when we must go through trying times and we must experience pains, we need to learn that God is always doing right, all the time. Aaron had to learn that, didn't he? With his two unfaithful sons, and the Lord struck them down. He acknowledged the Lord has done what is right. That was David's testimony and his ours, that God judges right all the time. God rules aright all the time. Now briefly, a word to the wise. To be wise. When considering the local church mantra in these strange times in which we live, Romans 13, 1-7. The Lord has placed rulers here on earth. It's God ordained. It's God ordained. But what so many people seem to have lost sight of is that God has placed rulers on this earth primarily for this purpose: to punish evildoers. In the midst of all this that we've been hearing lately, trying to tell the church that we should, when I say we, that those of us who are making a stand to worship God as he has commanded, and telling us we must be constrained, they mention nothing of this. But do we see that in the rule of man in this world? Well, at times we do, but quite often we do not see that. We do not see evil workers being punished. And we see evil abounding, in fact. Romans 1 is a commentary of how the rulers of this world are ruling today, passing all manner of wicked laws that are an abomination to God. Civil leaders are not the absolute rulers of God's people or any people, especially when they encourage God's people to disobey the Lord's commands. The word says of the ruler in Romans 13, he is God's servant. He's God's servant. Just as all who trust in the Lord Jesus, and indeed all creation, whether they like it or not, they are servile to God. He is God's servant. And God sets a high standard if anyone wants to rule among men. Because that rule is to be as God would rule. Psalm 89 verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Our God, his throne is perfect. It's right. It's just. It's holy. It is equitable. Now, fourthly, we see our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord in whom David trusts here. And he is the same Lord who became incarnate, God manifest in the flesh, who came into this world to save his people from their sins. And Christ rules over this earth. Christ rules over this earth, not man. There are pockets of rule that have been lent to man, entrusted to man. But it is to be as God would will it to be so. Christ rules over all. All things shall be brought into submission of and to acknowledge his rule. Very soon. Very soon. He rules now. He rules now. First Peter 3 tells us that. He's seated on high. He's seated on high. He's ruling the nations. But not all acknowledge him. But all will be brought to acknowledge it. Yes, to declare, to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even God the Father said to the sin-conquering Saviour Jesus Christ. But unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Speaking of the Lord Jesus here. The one who was crucified for sinners. For his chosen people. The one who did bear in his own body on the tree that sin. The one who was made sin for us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thy God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This God from his throne. This God from his throne. We mentioned Esther this morning briefly. Do you remember the king granted entrance into his presence to Esther? She couldn't just rush into his presence. She could have been killed. And he held out the royal scepter. to grant her entrance into his royal presence. The scepter of righteousness. The Lord Jesus, from his almighty throne, even today, grants that scepter of righteousness. He doesn't offer it. He holds it out to his people. To those he calls by his grace. He's sovereign, you see, over salvation. For the one seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high is the Lord God, in whom we put our trust. Him who was crucified and rose again for our justification, to bring us to God, on his throne, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only potentate of time. Finally, as we return to the immediate context of the psalmist David himself and his personal troubles and trials of faith, mirroring ours so often, see how only by an acknowledging and knowing the Lord is ruling sovereign over all things, can we truly put our trust in him amidst all the changing seasons of life? For only such trusting in a sovereign Lord God, who ever sits and ever has ruled from his heavenly throne, can we know the reality of these words. The reality of these words, whatever you are experiencing right now, good or bad. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8. These words mean nothing if God is not ruling. Oh, but he is. Praise God, he is. Like David, though you don't always understand what is going on, especially in your life personally, you can be assured that he whose throne is in heaven is bringing about your good all the time. So, keep looking. Keep looking unto the Lord on his throne. Looking unto the Lord on his throne. Looking unto Jesus. One more thing. As we consider the words of the Lord Jesus, the familiar words, oh so familiar words, in Matthew 28, after his great resurrection from the dead. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. All authority. He's on his throne. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So let us go out. Let the church in general, with confidence, go out. With great confidence, and proclaim this gospel of God's grace, knowing this, knowing that Jesus, on his throne now, is almighty to save, and he most certainly is almighty to keep unto the end those who trust in him. Amen.